Microsoft said it would release on Wednesday an updated version of its MSN Internet service, the latest salvo in its ongoing campaign to unseat America Online. The latest update to MSN 8 focuses on beefing up software to block unsolicited bulk email and adds new parental controls. A sneak peek of the software made its rounds on the net in April under the guise of MSN 8.5. The new MSN 8 comes just a week after Microsoft said it would pay $750 million to AOL's corporate parent, AOL Time Warner, to settle an antitrust lawsuit filed on behalf of Netscape Communications. Netscape, which is a subsidiary of AOL Time Warner, alleged that Microsoft unfairly used its monopoly power in operating systems to stifle Netscape's own web browser. Along with the $750 million payout, the companies agreed to a number of partner concessions. AOL will receive a license to use Microsoft's Internet Explorer browser in its proprietary service for 7 years. AOL also agreed to consider using Microsoft's Windows Media technology on a non-exclusive basis throughout its service. Meanwhile, AOL is planning to release the next version of its service in autumn and will test new features throughout the summer. Early this week, AOL unveiled the second beta version of its new client, dubbed AOL 9.0, and internationally codenamed Blue Hawaii. New additions to the service include a caching system that speeds web page downloads and a revamped email box with a spam filtering system. Prior enhancements included adding Apple Computer's QuickTime technology to AOL's media player, joining Real Networks and Microsoft's Windows Media. For the latest version of MSN 8, Microsoft is touting an anti-spam algorithm that the company says will improve spam blocking. MSN 8 will also forbid embedded HTML images from being presented unless the sender is included in the recipient's address book. These spam alterations are part of an overall revamp of MSN 8's email capabilities, including mandatory virus scanning for all emails with attachments, a meter that shows remaining memory for storing messages, new navigation tools, and sync features for online and offline contact lists. Changes in MSN 8's parental controls are mainly navigational in nature, with their tabs and buttons changed to help customize settings. Both AOL and Microsoft are scrambling to refine their respective online services in the face of subscriber declines from their core narrowband user base. Last quarter, AOL said it lost 289,000 US subscribers from the previous quarter, while Microsoft said its subscribers declined by 300,000. AOL and Microsoft have acknowledged that their narrowband subscriber ranks are thinning. The net giants are turning their attention to persuading broadband users to pay for high-speed versions of their service for a lower price than their monthly dial-up rates. The UK government is to offer a one-stop shop on the internet for all services it offers citizens. In future, buying a TV licence, paying your income tax, or applying for a passport could all be done from one central website. That's according to the specialist newsletter eGov Monitor. The government is aiming to put all its service online by 2005, and having one central site could encourage more people to interact electronically with officials. Currently, only around 11% of citizens use e-services, and the government's flagship website, UK Online, which puts people in touch with relevant departments, has around 300,000 visitors each month. A year after launching its sometimes controversial alliance with Kazaa, Brilliant Digital Entertainment subsidiary Altnet is kicking off a new, ambitious stage of its peer-to-peer marketing campaign. Late last week, Kazaa parents Shaman Networks and Altnet jointly released a new bundle of file-swapping software that includes components of a new, high-security peer-to-peer network and a program that will pay users to be a part of it. The idea, says Altnet CEO Kevin Burmeister, is to harness the computing resources of the tens of millions of Kazaa users to distribute authorized files such as games, songs and movies. Giving people an incentive to host paid files could create a powerful medium for distributing authorized content and could diminish file trading networks' role as hubs of online piracy, he said. The release of the new service is a landmark moment for both Altnet and Kazaa, which is far and away the most popular file-swapping software program online. Burmester's plans for marketing authorised files using Kazaa have been an instrumental part in the strategy of Xiamen since its inception in early 2002. It also could serve as a first large-scale test of the idea that the current generation of file-swapping networks can be hosts for legitimate business as easily as for copyright infringement. This has long been a contention of peer-to-peer advocates, but the idea has been tested only in limited and small-scale ways to date. Altnet's relationship with Kazaa emerged a year ago when Altnet parent Brilliant Digital Entertainment released word in a federal financial filing that it planned to weld the millions of Kazaa users into a new marketing network. Because the companies didn't communicate their plans with Kazaa users, the news sparked fears of spyware infestations and computer hijackings. But Altnet's initial manifestations turned out to look more like the paid search listings found on many portals, such as Overture. Companies who paid Altnet could buy search terms inside Kazaa and have links to their products be returned along with ordinary search results. Microsoft is phasing out standalone versions of its Internet Explorer web browser, according to statements attributed to IE program manager Brian Countryman in an interview posted on the software giant's website last week. As part of the operating system, IE will continue to evolve, but there will be no future standalone installations. IE6 SP1 is the final standalone installation, Countryman said in the May the 7th interview. Microsoft issued a standalone browser with IE6 following a court ruling that found the company had violated antitrust laws by bundling IE with its Windows operating system. The company has since settled the case with the Justice Department and most of the other parties to the suit, although a handful of holdouts continue to press for additional remedies. In the May 7th interview, Countryman dismissed the suggestion that the decision to stop the standalone browser was related to antitrust issues, hinting that planned new security enhancements for the upcoming round of its Windows operating system, codenamed Longhorn, was the driving force behind the move. Longhorn is expected to include a major security overhaul dubbed Next Generation Secure Computing Base, formerly known as Palladium. Critics fear the technology will result in consumers losing control of their PCs and data, that Microsoft could use the technology to lock up market share. Others argue that the software and hardware could help lock down corporate data. The number of European internet surfers using high-speed internet services grew by 136% in the 13 months from April 2002 to April 2003. That's according to the latest research from NielsenNet Ratings. In some countries, the growth rate was higher, with the UK experiencing the largest increase at 235% during this period. 28% of European internet users are now connected at high speed. That's a growth of 14% from April last year. In the US, 35% of the population surf the web using a broadband connection, but this figure is dwarfed by some of the Asia-Pacific markets, with 82% of Hong Kong's internet population connected via broadband. Penetration rates for individual countries show that some European markets have already overtaken the United States in terms of broadband take-up, notably in France and Spain. However, the UK, Germany and Italy, Europe's three largest single internet markets in terms of population penetration, are still lagging behind despite their recent rapid growth on broadband uptake. NielsenNet Ratings believe that this broadband boom is significantly altering the way users behave online. Across Europe, broadband users are spending significantly more time online, using the web more often, and visiting more websites than their slower dial-up counterparts. In Germany, for instance, narrowband users spend on average 7.5 hours on the web every month, whereas for broadband users, this increases to 21 hours. The sites that draw the majority of their audience from broadband surfers include file-sharing sites, music sites, film sites, and adult sites. The adult entertainment sector has increased its reach year on year in all European markets except Italy, where, not coincidentally, broadband access is the relatively lowest in Europe. If current growth rate continues, then by March 2004, over 50 million Europeans will be connected at high speed, and the USA will have only 3 million broadband surfers more. Top UK corporates have cleaned up their Security Act but are still vulnerable because of their bad housekeeping. That's according to an auditor's report just released. High-risk vulnerabilities have dived to 6% from 19% in 2001, according to the 5th Annual Security Audit from NTA Monitor, which analysed more than 600 of its perimeter tests carried out for government and financial clients last year. But at least a third of corporate networks were found to have 10 or more flaws, leaving them open to attack by hackers. The most common security risks are said to be basic mistakes in firewall management and the configuration of VPN services, allowing the VPN to be located and profiled. That's according to Kevin Foster, strategy manager at NTA Monitor. For example, companies with low-level DNS vulnerabilities jumped from 70% in 2000 to 83% last year, he added. Most of the flaws detected were due to installing firewalls and VPNs with their default settings. This leaves custom-built loopholes for hackers. EMI, the music group that includes Capitol Records, has sued Bertelsmann AG, saying the German giant's support of the music swapping service Napster led to the infringement of EMI's copyrights. The suit is similar to one brought last month by the Universal Music Group. It claims Bertelsmann's 2000 investment in Napster kept the service alive for another year, during which people illegally swapped and downloaded countless copies of songs by EMI artists. The lawsuit, filed in New York federal court, requests at least $150,000 for each copyrighted song that was shared on Napster, which a federal judge shut down in California in 2001. EMI's label represents artists such as Norah Jones, Janet Jackson, and the Rolling Stones. SBC and Bell South on Thursday unveiled a plan to let users of their jointly owned Singular wireless service to mix minutes from cell phones and home phones under one calling plan. Under the new minute share plan, Singular wireless customers would be able to make long-distance calls from their landline phones on weeknights and weekends using minutes from their wireless plan. They would also receive just one bill. The service, the first of its kind in the phone industry in the US, is being tested in Texas and will be expanded later this year, the company said. The aim of the plan is to keep Singular users tied to their service. With growth slowing in the wireless industry, companies are trying to find ways to cut costs associated with churn, new customers who drop service or switch to competing wireless carriers. In the last 6 months of 2002, Singular was especially hit hard by the industry slowdown, sustaining two straight quarterly declines in net customers. It's the first time that's ever happened to a major wireless company. Singular has more than 22 million customers, making it the second largest US wireless operator behind Verizon Wireless. A federal appeals court last Wednesday rejected a request by Verizon Communications Incorporated to delay turning over the names of four of its internet subscribers suspected of illegally offering free music for downloading. Verizon said the latest legal loss in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit means its lawyers will identify the four subscribers in the next 24 hours to the Record Industry Association of America, the trade group for the largest music labels. The association said it's not decided how it will proceed against those customers or whether it will identify them publicly. The organization's president, Carrie Sherman, said the decision confirms our long-held position that music pirates must be held accountable for their actions. Wednesday's decision was the latest in a series of court rulings that mean consumers using dozens of popular internet file-sharing programs can more easily be identified and tracked by copyright owners. Even for consumers hiding behind hard-to-decipher aliases, that could result in warning letters, civil lawsuits, or even criminal prosecution. Verizon says it already has warned its four subscribers, who were accused by the association of illegally offering hundreds of copyrighted songs over the internet. The association has sought the names of the subscribers under the 1998 Digital Millennium Copyright Act. It permitted music companies to force internet providers to turn over the names of suspected music pirates upon subpoena from any U.S. District Court clerk's office without a judge's signature required. Critics of the procedure contend judges ought to be more directly involved, given the potential privacy issues involved when a corporation is asked to reveal personal information about customers over an allegation of wrongdoing. Verizon has challenged the constitutionality of such copyright subpoenas. Arguments in the appeals court are set for September the 16th. The United States is a wired nation, but not completely so. Two recent reports paint starkly different pictures of the connectedness of the average U.S. resident. The first, released by Technology Futures of Austin, Texas, states that in 2003, the proportion of American households using broadband of some kind, DSL, cable, or, in some rare cases, wireless, will surpass 20%. More and more people are buying permanent connections to the net. At the other end of the spectrum, though, a report just published by the Pew Internet and American Life Project indicated the digital divide is still a concern. One-fourth of U.S. residents don't use the internet at all, including many people who live in homes with wired connections. A new variant of the bugbear virus, Win32.bugbear.b, has emerged and threatens corporate and home computer systems, according to antivirus experts. The worm has spread quickly last week, hitting the UK particularly hard, according to data from email provider Message Labs. Computer Associates expert Jacob Kaminski on Wednesday confirmed the company's antivirus laboratories had received their first sample of the virus, and an Australian user late on Thursday afternoon, Australian time, had been hit by the virus. Security firm iDefence first found bugbear.b on Australia and the US on Wednesday and said it had since gained ground rapidly. Message Labs, which runs outsourced email services for 700,000 customers around the world, says it has labelled the worm high risk. The first bugbear worm spread rapidly last autumn, creating about 320,000 infected messages in its first week, according to Message Labs. This week has already seen another significant virus threat emerge with the spread of W32/sobig.c-mm, which has generated about 30,000 infected messages per day last week, according to Message Labs. Like the first worm, Bugbear B is a mass mailing virus that infects Windows PCs. After it infects a PC, the virus searches the machine for email addresses and sends a message out to each address with a copy of itself attached. Bugbear also grabs a random address from those found in the email program on the PC and uses it in the from line of the message it sends. This disguises where the actual message came from and makes it difficult to alert someone that their system is infected. The virus also attempts to spread by copying itself to other computers that share their hard drives with the infected system. Bugbear also searches for any of a long list of security programs or antivirus programs and halts them if they are running on the victim's machine. In some cases, Bugbear can also cause printers on a network with infected PCs to start printing a large amount of raw binary data. And even more dangerously than that, believe it or not, the virus installs a keylogger that records what the user types, a method of capturing passwords, and a Trojan horse backdoor communicating on port 1080, which allows an attacker to take control of the system. The virus uses a flaw in the way Microsoft Outlook formats email using MIME, multi-purpose internet mail extensions. The flaw, if left unpatched, allows the virus to automatically execute on a victim's PC if Outlook displays the text of the message. While the flaw and its patch are more than 2 years old, some users have still not fixed the problem. And finally, plans for an EU computer agency to fix cybercrime such as viruses and terrorist attacks may be sidelined because governments want to monitor it too tightly, the European Union said last Wednesday. The European Network and Information Security Agency, which would play a key advisory role to the EU governments on how to combat web-related threats, was expected to be up and running by the end of this year. However, member states now say they want to directly appoint members of the management board, which would oversee the work of the agency. They're also seeking to axe a planned advisory panel meant to give voice to the industry, EU officials said. The Commission is fiercely opposing an overhaul of its planned structure and is threatening to withdraw the proposal altogether. The European Commission, the EU's executive body that proposed the agency, had wanted the new group to be a slim 30-man operation, rapidly reacting to virus attacks and other threats. Authorities worldwide have woken up to the dangers of serious network failures, such as those caused by computer worm SQL Slammer earlier this year. Potential terror strikes are also a source of concern after the September 11th attacks. Internet service providers say the agency would play a necessary role were it not to be hamstrung by government intervention. The agency is expected to cost the EU around $28 million US or €24 million in 5 years. A further $10.5 million will be added once 10 new EU members join in May 2004. And that's News Briefs for this week.